Resorts World Catskills, where luxury and excitement are so close by. Catch all the sports action and so much more at Resorts World Catskills. Dial *RWCAT to learn more.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
Here's one of my favorite people in all of sports media. And he's a man that started at a very low level, and he's risen up the ranks, and he now dominates things in SNY, and that is the one and only Ian Begley. Good morning, Ian Begley.
Dave, what's happening? How are you, my friend? I appreciate
it. I'm good.
The
now, there was a time where I could have said, Ian, would you come on? You say, Dave, 10 o'clock hour is yours. But today I said, can you come on? You said, yeah, but I got to be out by 10:10. See how it works with you.
I take my daughter to a gymnastics class. So.
I understand. All right, so let's get right to it. You're not at all surprised that the Knicks fired David Fizdale, right?
No, it's not surprising. I mean, in the NBA, when you're underperforming and then your team loses by 44 and 37 in consecutive games, that's a recipe for demise for the head coach. So it's not surprising. What is surprising to me, I still don't really understand it, is why did David Fizdale coach practice yesterday? Why did he address the media yesterday and then get fired? I don't get that. We don't have any explanation from the Knicks yet on that. It's just bizarre to me that would happen. You had all the evidence you needed if you wanted to make a decision and fire him. So why didn't it happen either after the game or before practice? It's just the optics are strange.
Yeah, but does that strange you? I mean, you say it surprises you, but does it really surprise you that the Knicks have made a head-scratching decision in how they treat a guy on the way out?
Listen, I mean, given their history, of course not. But just this specific situation, I just want to know, like, what was the rationale? What was the thinking? What was the plan? And then there was no final decision, as far as I know, on the interim head coach until a couple hours after the firing. So I don't know. It's just bizarre to me. No, I'm not surprised at all, given the history of the organization, that a bizarre decision was made. I'm just trying to figure out this one. I'm having trouble making sense of it.
All right, so Mike Miller's the guy, right? Is Mike Miller the guy for the rest of the year? Is Mike Miller the guy until they decide who they want during the season? How long are we going to play the games with Mike Miller as the head coach of the Knicks?
My understanding is it's his job for the rest of the year. But, you know, he would have to obviously set the world on fire to become the full-time head coach. And, you know, based on what we've seen so far this year, we don't think that's going to happen. The more interesting thing to me, as far as what to watch the rest of the year, is, you know, I was told that ownership, Jim Dolan, had a conversation with Mills and other people from management the day after they had that weird press conference after the 10th game of the season. And the management came away from that conversation with the impression that they'd be okay as long as their jobs would be okay, as long as the Knicks made progress over the course of the year. So to me, if that's still the case, then the Knicks need to win some games. They need to be competitive under Mike Miller in order for Steve Mills and Scott Perry to be safe beyond this season. Because when you talk about who's the next head coach of the Knicks going to be, if it's not Mike Miller, then the next question is who's going to be doing the hiring? Is it Mills and Perry, or is it another executive if Mills and Perry get let go?
All right, so let's attack both of these questions. We'll start with the head coach. What direction do you think, and I think we're all on the same page, and Mike Miller's not going to be the long-term answer as head coach for the Knicks. Where do you think they go into the next generation with their head coach?
Right, so, you know, if it's Mills and Perry and if they're making the decisions, I look at that last round of interviews that they did before they settled on Fizdale. Obviously, Mark Jackson was a candidate. We know they didn't talk to Patrick Ewing or Jeff Van Gundy. I don't believe they talked to Becky Hammon. And so Jason Kidd, I think, was a candidate. So those are the names that I think about as far as next head coaches. Mike Woodson, they spoke to, and I think probably would speak to him again. So if it's those two guys, if it's Bills and Perry, I think those are the names that you're thinking about. The one thing with Mark Jackson was that they did do their due diligence on what happened with Mark in Golden State. And I think some people in the organization were on board with hiring, but ultimately, obviously, they decided to go with David Fizdale. So that tells you a little bit about how they felt about Mark Jackson back then. Does that change now? I don't know, but those are the names that I believe we will start to hear about if Mills and Perry are doing the hiring after the season.
All right, Ian Begley, SNY, with us here on 98.7 ESPN. So you said that they have to show signs of improvement in the final, 60 games of the regular season here. If they don't, what direction could you see the ownership going with as far as a new president slash GM, decision maker, really?
Right. So the top of the list there, obviously, is Masai Ujiri.
Right.
Any team that had an opening for the top executive spot would be enamored with Masai Ujiri. The Knicks are no different. Obviously, he has a history of success in dealing with the Knicks. I think owner James Dolan has a healthy respect for Masai, given those past dealings. You're talking about the Carmelo Anthony
trade
with the Denver Nuggets.
And we know all about,
the Bargnani deal with Toronto. So there's a healthy respect, maybe even a fear there from a Knick perspective. But the thing with Masai or any other top executive, Sam Presti, you know, R.C. Buford, you know, maybe he's a guy because the Spurs seem like they're at the end of the road there. Maybe he's a guy who would have interest in the Knicks job. But any of these guys, any of these top execs, they would want full autonomy coming into this situation. Would they get full autonomy from Jim Dolan? They're going to get a lot of money from Jim Dolan, but would they get full autonomy in the truest sense? And that by that, I mean the ability to get rid of anyone they wanted to get rid of, to make any change they wanted to make. You know, Phil Jackson had autonomy, but for the most part, by and large, but I was told that there was some decisions he wanted to make with the front office, making changes he couldn't make. Some decisions with the medical staff, changes he wanted to make, he couldn't make. So he didn't have full autonomy. He was allowed to make the basketball decisions he wanted to make. But again, a big time top executive is going to want to do to the freedom to do whatever he wants to do. We don't have evidence yet that Jim Dolan has acquiesced in that way. Does that change going forward? We'll have to find out.
It's got to change. I mean, you've banged your head against the wall doing the same thing for 20 years. You're the laughingstock of the NBA. You have to change it. And here's my next question for you and Ian Begley with us from SNY. You may not have the answer. Why is it that the team that shares the garden with the Knicks, the Rangers, is so functional and seems to, you know, they've rebuilt on the fly. They're good again. They have pieces in place. They have, you know, Sather and Gordon and a good coach and John Davidson. And you look across the way and it's like they can't get out from under. Why is it that the guy owns the same two teams and one is capable and one is incapable?
You know, people, whenever that question is asked, a lot of people, like garden people, will say, you know, they've had stable management with the Rangers, and obviously there's been instability with the Knicks. But then the other question is there, well, why? Is why? And I have to assume that Jim Dolan has been more hands-on with the Knicks than he has with the Rangers.
But it's working with the Rangers. Like, don't you think he's not a dumb guy that he looks at and says, God, it's completely working with the Rangers. Maybe I should follow that blueprint?
Well, you know what? It hasn't really worked with the Knicks, so maybe because of the lack of success, he's felt like he's needed to get involved more, which is obviously the wrong decision. But maybe he sees the on-court results, he sees the lack of progress, and he felt the need to get involved. Now, he said on the record that that was a mistake when he hired Phil Jackson. He said he got involved too much. He's not a basketball guy, so he's going to cede basketball decisions to his top executive. And to reiterate, by and large, he did that with Phil. But
Phil was just incapable.
Phil was incapable, but there were also things he wanted to do that he couldn't do. So the key here is no matter who he hires, yes, take the approach that you're taking with the Rangers and let people do their jobs, but also let that exec, whoever it is, come in and have the freedom to hire and fire as he pleases. That, to me, is the key.
All right, I could talk to you all day. And I miss you more than you could ever know, but I know you've got family obligations. So I'm gonna let you go. I'm going to say I'll talk to you soon.
I miss you too, my friend. Be well. Enjoy your Saturday.
All right. That, of course, is the wonderfully talented Ian Begley from SNY, who's got family obligations, and he's going to drive his daughter to ballet. Otherwise, he would have continued that conversation with us. But that, to me, is what's so frustrating about this team and about this organization, is you see how it works. You have two teams. You know what it's like? This is such a good analogy, Kyrie and Nikki, that someone will steal it. You ever seen the movie Twins with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny
DeVito?
DeVito, yeah.
The
Rangers are like the Schwarzenegger character, and the Knicks are like the DeVito character. They're twins, and they could not be more polar opposites. How good
very
is that? Not a sensational analogy?
I love it. That's very true.
Nikki, I hear the laughter, but say something. That is brilliant, isn't it?
No, I think that's probably one of the more accurate metaphors I've heard lately.
I mean, this is what it is. It's you see how it can succeed. You know that you have the money to spend. We know you want to win. So hire the best. Hire Masai Ujiri and say, and are you kidding me? Because of the medical staff? Could you imagine that? Now, listen, Phil Jackson was incapable. He was absolutely incapable. But could you imagine that, Phil, going, listen, this is the direction I want to go with the medical staff and James Dolan or someone right under him saying, no. We just can't. We won't. Whatever you want. Masai Ujiri, here's what are you making? Multiply it times two. That's your new salary. And anything you want is yours. You want to bring in doctors from other countries? Have at it. You want to fire the secretaries? And no offense to the current secretaries, and I'm sure they're great. Have at it. You want to change our practice facility? Have at it. What did the Islanders do? Lou Lamoriello, this is yours. You do whatever you want. Whatever you want. Because you're capable, and honestly, right now, we're not. And that's the truth.
It's very similar to what Rutgers did just recently with Greg Schiano.
They had no choice.
Yeah.
The laughing stock of the Big Ten. They've had success once in the history of the program. Bring that guy back in, and you run it, and you do whatever you need to do. Same thing with the Islanders. Same thing what it should be with the Knicks. And for some reason, they just won't do it. Masai Ujiri, Jerry West, Art C. Buford, here, it's all yours. I'll say nothing. I'm a sounding board, I'm a checkbook, and that's it. 800-919-3776. All this negative talk, Kyrie. I got to do something positive for the people. I have to. This year, make them believe in the magic of the season with seasonal scratch-off games from the New York Lottery with prizes up to $1 million. 98.7 ESPN and the New York Lottery are hooking you up. Here's what you do. Text the keyword winner, W-I-N-N-E-R, to 44202 for your chance to win a 50-pack of Winter Green scratch-off tickets with a top prize of $3,000, and you can use it as a gift tag. Give someone the reason to believe in the magic of the season. Seasonal scratch-off games for the New York Lottery. Must be 18 or older to purchase a lottery ticket and to participate in this promotion. Please play and gift responsibly. Let's get back to the next conversation with you, 800-919-3776. See, to me, this is not all that complex. I go to the best. I offer them endless amounts of money. I give them complete control, and I get out of the way.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.